Tanya, what page? What do you mean you don't know? Kapis Mem Vav. Kapis Mem Vav. Chapter 36, the second page.
What did you say? Can you repeat what you just said? Next week,
the Kinnis. Next week, there's a Kinnis Terrier, then the next 2 weeks after that, there's no class. What page? 166 at the bottom. We will start 2, 4, 6 lines from the top. Okay, last week and the week before, the Alter Rebbe was explaining that the ultimate purpose of why Hashem made the world was because He wanted a dwelling place down here. And the bottom line of all the explanations that we learned was when darkness is transformed into light, it's the greatest type of light. When evil is transformed into goodness, that is the greatest form of good. So therefore, what does Hashem want? Hashem made a world of evil, basically, and Hashem wants us to transform the world to Kedusha, and that will cause the dwelling place where the essence of Hashem could be revealed in the world. That was, in a nutshell, what we learned up to now. So he says like this, Lezen, for this purpose, Nasin HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael Asah Torah. Hashem gave the Jews the Torah on Har Sinai. Shenikra Eiz V'Keach Torah is called strength and might. Why? Well, K'may Merazal, like a Chazal tell us, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Neisin Keach B'Tzadikim, Hashem gives the strength to the Tzadikim, L'Kabel Schorim L'Asad Lovei, to get the reward in the world to come, Shlo Yizbatlu B'Metzias Mamish, that they shouldn't become nullified and non-existent in the great revelation of godliness that will be revealed when Mashiach comes. In other words, we know at the beginning of creation, before Hashem created the world, that Arizal writes, there was such a great, infinite revelation of godliness that the world couldn't exist. Therefore, what did Hashem do? Hashem made what's called the first Tzimtzum. Hashem contracted and removed, it wasn't contracted, He removed this infinite revelation of God, and therefore He re-revealed a limited revelation of God that allowed the limited world to be created. So the question is, when Mashiach comes, the infinite revelation of godliness will be revealed in the world. How are we going to be able to handle it? You know what happens when you have too much light with too little vessel, it breaks? Okay? How in the world, Alter Rebbe is explaining over here, are we going to be able to handle the revelation of Mashiach in a finite, limited body and world? So he says that's why we have the Torah. When a person learns Torah and does mitzvahs, this makes them fortified and strong to such an extent that when Mashiach comes and Hashem will reveal His infinite revelation, we'll be ready for it. At the beginning of creation, there was no Torah given yet. There were no mitzvahs done. So the infinite revelation did not allow for a finite world. And that's what he says. It's going to be keach l'tzadikim, l'kabos chodim, to receive the reward when Mashiach comes, shal yizvatlu b'metzias mamash, that they shouldn't become completely nullified, b'er Hashem anigla lasid, in the revelation of godliness which will be revealed when Mashiach comes, and it then is going to be revealed b'li shum levush, without any garments. Sometimes when the light is too strong, you need to wear like sunglasses. Okay? You need to make a covering, or like Chazal say, I don't know if you want to call it the ozone layer, whatever. The sun itself is too powerful for the world. Therefore, there's the protective shield, it's called the mogein, the covering of the sun that allows the sun's rays to come on earth and the world shouldn't burn. That's why, like it says, when Avraham Avinu was sick, Hashem made the sun come out of its shield and the earth was too hot for people to travel. And that's why he brought the angels and so on. So it says that when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to reveal Himself as is without any limitation. Until now, Hashem conceals Himself. He limits Himself, He restricts Himself, restricts Himself, any word of limitation that you want to learn, that Hashem limits himself. But when Mashiach comes, the Pasuk says, Lo yikanef eid meirecha, your Rebbe, your teacher, meaning Hashem, will not hide himself from you. Shali yiskase mimcha, that Hashem will not hide himself, bekanef olavush, with a garment or a blanket. When there's too great of a revelation, you need coverings to block it. Now Hashem reveals himself through all these various coverings. So it's a limited revelation of godliness, so we're able to handle it. But Mashiach comes, it says there won't be any more covers, any more concealments, of nothing. Hashem's essence will be revealed. How are we going to be able to handle it? That's during Torah mitzvahs now. That gives us the strength to be able to handle it. Or like the Pasuk says, V'hayu einecha reyes es meirecha, your eyes are going to see your teacher. Or it says, ayin ba'ayin yiru, eye to eye, the Jews will see the revelation of godliness. And another pasuk says, lo yir l'cha erd ha-shemesh l'erd yeimam, when Mashiach comes, we will not need the sun to be the light of the day. Ki Hashem yir l'cha l'erd eilam, God himself is going to be the light. Okay, so therefore, Hashem gave us the Torah, that when Mashiach comes, we're going to be able to handle this revelation of godliness as it is. And by the way, like we said, that is the definition of Dira B'Tachtayinim, a dwelling place we learned a few weeks ago. What is the definition of the word Dira? Your home is the way you are as you really are, without any facade, without any covering, without any fake, without any acting, without any bluff. You are the way you are by yourself. That's what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. Hashem is going to be the way he is by himself without any coverings. What gives us the strength to be able to receive that when Mashiach comes? The Torah mitzvahs that we do in this world. Therefore, Torah is called Oiz, strength. In fact, there's the famous Medrash. When Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews, it was thunder and lightning and shofar, it was a whole Taram in the world. So the Goyim got scared. So the nations of the world got scared. So they went to their leader Bilam. The famous Bilam was the Rebbe of the Goyim. And they said, what's going on? So Bilam said the famous pasuk that we see every day in davening, Hashem oiz la'ama yitain, Hashem yivarech asame v'asholim. Bilam said that pasuk. Hashem is giving his strength to his nation. Hashem yivarech es ame b'shom, it's peaceful. God is giving peace in the world. But what did God give actually through Matan Torah? He gave the strength to be able to handle it. How is Torah this strength? So it says very simply. Chassidus explains the following. There's the famous question that everybody I'm sure is aware of. What was so great about Matan Torah if they had all of it before? Think about it. The Ten Commandments, go through all one of the Ten, each one of the Ten Commandments. Most of them are the seven Noahic laws. Honoring Shabbos, they were commanded before they got to Sinai. Okay? Honoring parents, we find the Chumash Esav honored Yitzchak. There is not one unique thing that's earth-shattering when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people to make it worth all that commotion. You would think God is coming down to give the top 10. Yeah, the big top 10. You would think he would tell us all the illogical mitzvahs. Don't mix meat and milk together. Don't wear wool and linen together. Keep kosher. The laws of impurity. All the non-logical stuff, that should be the logical thing of the revelation of Matan Torah. What did God come? A big commotion. Hey guys, don't steal. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Honor your father. Big deal. I mean, I am God, your God. And they have to believe in God anyway. Right? So Chassidus explains, what really happened to Matan Torah is based on Medrashim and everything. Before God gave the Torah, spiritual was spiritual, physical was physical, and they were not allowed to mix. The Medrash gives the analogy, There's one city that was on the mountaintop. There's another city at the foot of the mountain. The king said, the ones on top cannot go down. The ones on the bottom cannot go up. Completely separate. Then the king decided to nullify the decree. So the king said, you know what? Decree broken, and I'm going to be the first one to do it. Okay? So the Medrash says like this. Before Matan Torah, as we say in Tillim, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, heavens belong to God, earth He gave to people. What does that mean in a spiritual sense? Shemayim refers to spirituality. Earth refers to physicality. Hashem said, spiritual belongs to God, physical belongs to people. There is no mixing. What happened in Matan Torah? Matan Torah accomplished an extremely unique thing. That this barrier between physical and spiritual was broken. What happened? That's why God says, I'm coming down on the mountain. Hashem came down on the mountain, and He said to Moshe, go up. That was the homogenizing of spiritual and physical. So what happened in Matan Torah actually? Before Matan Torah, when a Jew did a mitzvah, the world did not become holy. Because physical was not able to become spiritual. So therefore it's completely different. Even when they put on tefillin, let's say, or they did mitzvahs, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov kept mitzvahs, the physical world went nowhere. It stayed physical. When Hashem gave the Torah, Hashem said, now I am going to combine the physical and the spiritual, which means now when you take paper and make it into a sefer, the paper becomes holy. You take wool and you make it into tzitzis, the tzitzis becomes holy. You take parchment and make it leather and you make it into tefillin, that becomes holy. So what did Hashem actually accomplish by Matan Torah? That physical and spiritual can combine. Now, in order to combine two opposites, you need to be above both. Right? In order to combine spiritual and physical, you need to be above both. In order to combine finite and infinite, you need to be above both. In order to combine miracle and nature, you need to be above both. Because if you're limited in one, how can you combine the next? It's an opposite. That means what happened to Matan Torah? On earth was revealed such a great revelation of godliness that when a person does a mitzvah with a physical object in the physical world, that physical world becomes godly. So by doing this now, we're already planting the infinite level of God in the world. So when Mashiach comes, we're going to be able to handle it. It's like, you know, giving drugs, I mean, a shot, immunization, right? You're basically giving the medicine, but the poison, I mean. You're giving the poison, but it's building up the immune system. The mitzvahs we're doing now is, so to speak, spiritually speaking, builds the immune system of the world, that when the ultimate revelation of godliness is revealed, the world will handle it very easily and sustain it. That's what happened in Matan Torah. And he says like this, V'naydan is known, Sheyimeisa Mashiach, the era of Mashiach, U'befrat, and especially, K'sheyichyu HaMeisim, when the resurrection will happen, Hem Tachlus V'shleimus B'riyas Eilam Hazeh, this is the ultimate purpose of creation, Shelakach Nivra Mitchilos, that's why God made the world. The purpose of creation of the world 5,770 years ago, was not for anything up to now. It's for the coming of Mashiach. And the ultimate revelation will be after the resurrection of the dead. Because first Mashiach comes, and then the second era is the resurrection of the dead, Tchias HaMesim. The ultimate revelation, the ultimate purpose of creation of the world is for that era of Tchias HaMesim.
When does the Beis HaMikdash come into all that?
Beis HaMikdash is built right away. And Tchias HaMeisim is a process that begins starting immediately with the coming of Mashiach for 40 years. In 40 years, everybody's up.
Between 1 and 40 years, people are just going
to... Mm-hmm. Every day, another person is going to pop up.
That's what I'm saying. So you start davening, like, I hope it's this person, that person.
No. It doesn't work like that. No. There's a long thing from the Rebbe about this. Tzaddikim get up first. People in Eretz Yisrael, but they're buried in Israel, get up.
That's why people
get up.
Get up earlier.
Because they don't roll.
Everybody gets up in Israel.
That's why people want to be buried.
Everybody has to get to Israel. Tzaddikim have a painless journey underground.
Right.
Don't ask me the technicalities. It is what it says in the books. They go to Israel painlessly, okay. and other people a little rough ride. No, but the tzaddik, that's why it says, it's a very interesting thing. The Rebbe answers with this, there's many answers to the question, but there seems to be a contradiction. Because it says, Moshe Rabbeinu is the first redeemer, and Hu Goel Achron, he's the last redeemer. Which implies that Moshe Rabbeinu is Mashiach, right? The problem is, Mashiach comes from the house of David, which is the tribe of Yehuda, and Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu be Mashiach if Mashiach comes from the tribe of Yehuda and Moshe Rabbeinu came from Levi? So some people answer it means the neshama of Moshe, not the body, the neshama of Moshe. But the Rebbe in many places learns another answer, that it means physically, Moshe Rabbeinu will be the Redeemer. What does it mean? Mashiach is Mashiach from David. But when Mashiach is coming, revealing himself, Moshe Rabbeinu already in the process of Tchias HaMeisim gets up, and he'll be there together with Mashiach to redeem the Jews. So it's like, because Tchias HaMeisim for Tzaddikim happens early. But by 40 years, everybody's up. So Tchias HaMeisim era officially is after 40 years after Mashiach's coming.
Is there something to the 40? Why 40 years? What's with that number?
Is there something about these dead people getting up?
It's disturbing, but
yeah, it's disturbing. 40,
no, I think of the
desert. I'll tell you the truth. Some of our ancestors, when they get up from the ground, they look at us. They were going to want to go back down. An embarrassment.
I know.
Okay.
I'm just saying, why 40, not 30, not 10? There's nothing to it. This is the way it is.
How far is the sun from the earth?
Don't know.
93 million miles, approximately, to give or take a few million miles here or there.
Okay.
Why didn't God make it 95 million?
I don't know.
What's the diameter of the earth? Okay. Whatever it is, why did God make the earth the size he did? Why didn't he make it a mile bigger or smaller?
Because that's what he wanted.
Okay. So, yes, why 40 years? Because that's what he wants.
I think of Passover, that's why. 40 years.
Like, no. No, Hashem, whatever, the number 40. Hashem likes the number 40.
Okay.
Why did God create 7 days in the week, not 8 days in the week? I mean, you know, you can't ask these questions. Hashem had to do it somewhere, somehow. Okay? In this week's Pirkei Avos, in this Berach Hamishia, this Shabbos, the Mishnah starts off like this. God created the world with 10 utterances. Right? Well, Ma Talmud Leimer, what is it telling us? So the Rebbe learns, it doesn't mean, why did God create it with 10, not 9? Because if you do it with 9, that's why not 8, or 7, or 10, or 12, or 15. You can't ask a question, why Hashem did something the way he did it? Because that's the way he did it. The Mishnah's question is, what do we learn from the Torah telling us that he created with 10 utterances? But not why.
I think that's what I mean.
You can't ask a question, why did God create the world with 10 utterances and not 11? Because he did it with 10. The question is, why does the Torah tell me he created it with 10? So that means there's a lesson to learn from it. Learn the Mishnah. To punish the tzaddik, the rishayim, to reward the tzaddikim. Look at the first Mishnah, parak, the fifth parak. Liparim in Hashem, Shema Abdin Asayim, Shenivir Basar, Maimaris, the Litin Tzachatev, the tzaddikim, that Mekayim, the world that was created in 10 utterances. If you want to come Shabbos afternoon, we'll give a class.
Because this is the one mishnah that the children in school were doing this week.
Okay. So therefore, he says like this: Torah is what keeps the prepares the world for the coming of Mashiach. And he says like this: V'gam kfar hoyu le'lamim me'enze b'shas matan teira. This revelation of Mashiach, a little bit existed, he says, when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people. Like it says, Ata reisa ladas, you have shown to be known, ki Hashem hu alikim, that God is God, ein eid mulvadi, there's nothing else but Hashem, ha reisa mamish, you have shown, beriyo chushis, with an open sight, with an open vision. In other words, like this, there is no question that there it was never a great revelation as it will be when Mashiach comes. It's a given. The greatest revelation of godliness that will be and ever was be was as Mashiach comes. A little bit of it happened when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people. And that's why, as we know, like it says, V'cholaha mureinis akelis, they all saw the voices. Reinis anishma, they actually saw which was normally heard. What does that mean? It was such a revelation of godliness that sight became hearing and hearing became sight, and there was no difference between seeing and hearing. And hearing. So there was a little bit of such a revelation when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, but nothing compared to what it will be when Mashiach comes. So therefore, Matan Torah is actually the preparation to get the world ready for the coming of Mashiach. To prepare the world through Torah and mitzvahs, to get the world, make the world a vehicle and a vessel to be able to handle this great revelation of Hashem that will be when Mashiach comes. In the next paragraph, the Rebbe is going to say a very interesting concept. The revelation of Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim is dependent on how much Torah mitzvahs we do now.
I'm just saying one more time, the revelation of what?
Of Mashiach. Uh-huh. And Tchias HaMesim is dependent on our Avodah during the duration of exile, of Golos. Right. Pretty sad, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What can you do?
Learn more, I guess.
Huh?
Tell me.
That's one way of negativity.
No, learn more. Is that?
I'm saying, but that's one way of negativity.
Oh.
You know, you can look at everything positive or negative.
For
sure. Okay. Every year that goes by is better or worse?
Better.
Hmm?
Better. As we come to class.
Better or worse?
For the world.
So, you can look at it in two different ways. One way is, it's another year away from Matan Torah. Mm-hmm. Another year away from the revelation of the temple, right?
You're going to say it's an opportunity.
No, another way of looking at it, it's a year closer to Mashiach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Every year that goes by, is he here closer to Mashiach? Yeah, it's called positive thinking versus negative thinking.
No, like, there's people, you ask them a question, like, I don't know, I'm going to pay for this. Oh, Mashiach's coming, you're not even going to have to worry about it.
Yeah, I know. Ask him to lend you
the money,
$100,000, and tell him you'll pay him back when Mashiach comes, and see how quick they believe.
That.
Yeah, see how quick they believe it.
Right.
Another way of looking at it, by the way, what's brought down in Chassidus, and this is a remarkable approach, you know, to life, the fact that any Jew today does any mitzvah whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
Hashem is so excited and happy, because if you know, Manus Friedman gives this famous analogy, he mentioned it a few times. Can you imagine somebody gets married, and the husband says, you know what, I have to go out for a little while, I'm coming right back, cook dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The husband comes back a few thousand years later He says to the wife, why is the soup cold? Okay? That doesn't work well. Hashem gets married to us, Matan Teda. Hashem says, okay, guys, I'm going away for a little while in exile. I'll come back. Hey, why are you doing mitzvahs? Okay? If you think about it, the Friedrich Rebbe says this in my modern, and Chassidus brought down many different places. When Hashem looks at the world, okay, you could look at people's behavior in two distinct ways. You could say, ah, they're not religious. Look, they're no good. They're no good. They're not religious. Okay? That's one way of looking at it from the negative point of view. The positive point of view is, if you think about it, why should a Jew today be religious? All the problems, all the exiles, all the darkness, all the we don't see miracles, we don't see this, and it's all blind faith. So if anything, when a Jew does any mitzvah whatsoever, we should be excited. And by the way, it says, Hashem is very excited. The Friedrich Rebbe says in the Maimer, it was right after World War II, you know, after the Holocaust and all that. The Friedrich Rebbe says in the Maimer, the fact that any Jew today keeps any mitzvah whatsoever, Hashem is elated and shocked, pleasantly shocked, that they're doing the mitzvahs. They tell a story, we'll finish with this. There was a great Rebbe in Europe, I don't remember what it was, and the Chassidim were going to America. It was World War II time, okay? And the Chassidim said to him, you know, who are we going to be able to get a bracha from in America if all the holy tzaddikim, so to speak, are in Europe? So his Rebbe said to him the following, it's a very profound statement. His Rebbe said to him like this, if you will go into a shul in America, speak after the war, and you see a Jew putting on tefillin, and when you look at his arm, you'll see a number. You know, the Germans put numbers on their hand. And he says, and you'll see a Jew with a number on his hand, and he's putting on tefillin, that guy is so holy, you can get a bracha from him. You know what this Rebbe said to him? The fact that a Jew after the war that lived through the Holocaust and has a number on his hand and is still doing a mitzvah, that guy is a holy roller that you can get a bracha from him. Okay? So when we say that the coming of Mashiach is dependent on our work during the duration of Galus, don't go, ugh. I know. I'm just teasing you. The point is, look how great the Jews are that they're keeping any mitzvahs, they're unbelievably great. How much worse when they're keeping a lot of mitzvahs? So that's what it's all about.